And he opened a little box, and inside was a phone. He said, we're stuck. Could you help us? And, of course, they did. And later, this is what he said. In this world, we're going to get stuck in places that are not comfortable. Some people begin to beat against the walls, and others cry out in dismay. But the person who trusts in the power of confident prayer knows there's someone at the other end who hears their call and comes to their aid. Isn't that a great illustration of prayer? Prayer is the answer, ladies, no matter what the situation is. And James is going to help us with some very practical ways, and we'll get the outline up for you for tonight. Prayer's about living in general, prayer's about our health, and prayer's about our country. All things that we should be praying about. Prayers for living, prayers for health, and prayers for our country. And we'll have two verses next week, and then you have some review questions. Because it is worth, James is worth the review. So let's pick it up in verse 13 in chapter 5. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Ladies, stuff happens. Right? How many things happened today? This snowstorm has thrown such a wrench in my plans. Even when I got up this morning, I thought, well, we won't have staff meeting today, and I won't have this appointment. Well, several things canceled. And all day I kept thinking, man, they're going to cancel tonight. And then they didn't, you know? Stuff happens. So what do we do when we get laid off? When we trip and fall and hurt ourselves, when we have to have surgery or we've got an unexpected bill? Do we grumble? Do we complain? Do we compare? What we should do, pray and ask God for wisdom. And then that takes us right back to James, what? 1, right? We're going in a full circle here. Back to James 1. Pray and ask for wisdom. God is developing perseverance in us. God can remove the affliction, or he can give us grace to handle the affliction. And then James talks about it. Are you happy? Sometimes we have trouble. Sometimes we have good times. I hope this is a good time for your family, and you're enjoying blessings with your kids, with your parents, with your finances. Spiritually, God is pouring out blessings on you. Those are the best ones. Praising God reflects what's going on in our hearts. Merely singing words of praise, though, on Sunday morning, reading the words off the screen, that's not really praise, is it? Praise really comes from your heart. It really does. You guys, I sit in the front row for a very specific reason. I am the most distracted person in the world. Everything distracts me and pulls my attention away. I want to be in there on Sunday focusing on God. Whatever you have to do to focus on him, pray before you get in there. Shut your eyes. Turn off your cell phone. Don't talk to your neighbor. Praise God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, praising him. And what a blessing that brings to your heart when you really focus on him. Forget about everybody else. If you want to lift your hands, lift your hands. If you want to stand up, stand up. If you think you need to kneel down, kneel down. Nobody is going to think badly of you. In this church, they will not. I promise, they will not. Do what God tells you to do when you're worshiping him. Coming from your heart, led by the Holy Spirit, focused on God. Think about that on Sunday morning. Our first point, a spiritually mature woman can sing while she's suffering. She can sing and suffer at the same time. A spiritually mature woman can sing while she is suffering. On Sunday, thinking about this lecture, I guess, but I looked up at the platform Sunday morning and I saw two sisters. One of them's our drummer, Sherry, and one is Kathy, and she's in the choir. She's a soprano, and I marveled. Sherry has lymphoma. She was diagnosed a few months ago, been through horrendous chemotherapy. Lost all her hair. That's why she got a little beanie on. And up there playing the drums for all she's worth. And then there's Kathy, her sister, right behind her, singing to the Lord with the biggest smile in the choir, by the way. And her husband just a couple weeks ago had a stroke, and they didn't think he was going to make it. And then a couple weeks after that, he stopped breathing one morning and literally was gone. They had to revive him. And Kathy is in God for all she's worth. And again, it goes back to last week, doesn't it? What a witness that is to all of us. And glowing. Wow, what a testimony those ladies are to all of us. Do you pray when you have trouble or just irritations? Pray before you get in your car tonight, for sure, on that ice. No matter what it is, do you go to the Lord? You know, sometimes I pray even before I go shopping. I pray for good deals, and I pray that God will help me find stuff fast because I don't have a lot of time to do that, you know, and I need to find gifts for someone or whatever. I pray about that. Just pray about everything. When have you taken the time to thank God for how he's blessed you recently? And do you tell other people that is right from God? Let's do that. Give God the credit. But we really need to thank him in the struggles. I'm telling you, ladies, that is a mark of a mature person who can sing while she's struggling. Second, James tells us to not only pray for just general life, but pray for health. In 14 and 15, picking it up, is any one of you among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is not a magic formula, is it? This isn't, you know, if you do this, this person's going to get up and, you know, the blind will see. It's not that. But he's giving us pointers here. If you are sick, ask other people to pray. Ask them, especially those who are mature in their faith. Do you know that you probably all know this, we have oil at the altar. And you can come for healing of any kind. And listen, I do this a lot for ladies who are having surgery or going through a difficult time. Just ask me. I'll meet you at the altar at the end of church. I would be glad to anoint you. That's what we're supposed to do. And we can ask the other ladies in your group to join in on that. And we do healing services here too, which I love those because God always heals someone in a dramatic way in those services. But here's the coolest thing when I was studying this week. The Greek term for anointing is a medicinal term. So it seems to me that James is saying to use medicine, to use it, and it can help heal as well as asking the Lord. Anointing oil here is medicinal. Isn't that interesting? Doctors have their place, don't they? If you get an infection or you break something, we have the best medical care in the whole world for emergency services, don't we? Laura, your husband, right? What would we have done without antibiotics, right? That's the anointing oil. We all prayed, but God used that anointing oil, didn't he, to heal Jason. Praise God. I thought that was really cool, though. And the prayer of faith, what is that? In 1 John, and I think I have this on the screen for you, 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. This is about knowing God's will and asking for God's will and how to pray for someone. Is it in his will to heal them? That's what I do. When someone asks me to anoint them, I ask God, God, is it your will to totally heal this person? Sometimes I get a really distinct impression that he wants to heal them. He wants to do it apart from anything. But listen, ladies, if you're praying for someone who does not know God, you never need to ask God's will about that. Right? It's always God's will that they come to know him. So you don't ever ask, God, if it's your will, would you bring this person to you? It is his will. You don't need to ask about that. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but it's getting God's will done on earth. Did you ever think about that? It's not this little genie in a bottle. We don't rub, you know, this thing called prayer, and all of a sudden, here it is. That isn't how it works. It's seeking God's mind, asking what his will is, and praying in accordance with his will. Sometimes God's will is to call his child home. How many of you know Pat Eckerd? She comes to our Tuesday morning group. Yeah. Her grandson, Ryan, had it was a brain tumor. And it was discovered when he was 19. He passed away Sunday morning. He totally believed in the Lord Jesus. And he's looking at him face to face right now. God called him home. It's hard for us, isn't it? But that is the ultimate healing for Ryan. He is healed. Sometimes Paul, he prayed 3 times that thorn be removed. And we don't know what the thorn was. Some people think that there was something wrong with his eyes. And God told him, no, because of your pride, you get to keep that thorn. And that God's grace was sufficient for him. And you know, really, if Paul had been healed of that, would he have written the books, the epistles? Will we have those today? We don't know, you know? So God knows what we need. And then it talks about if they have sinned. And this term means constantly sinning. This is a lifestyle of sinning, right? We all sin. But this is a constant lifestyle of being disobedient is what this is talking about in verse 15. And this kind of sin, this constant sinning, can lead to death. Did you realize that? Did you know that before this, that God will take someone's life in constant sin? I mean, it's up to God. If you see, and this is 1 John 5:16-17, picking up on that same passage. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, then pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. Only God can reveal this, by the way. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. So some sins lead to death. Interesting, huh? It's kind of shocking, really. Confess your sins when you go to the altar, too. Sometimes when we're sick, it is because of sin. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what stress does in your life. How stress affects you. What does it cause? Headaches, sleeplessness, anxiety, your pulse to go up, your blood pressure. Researchers know stress can kill you. It really can. Does God want us to live with that kind of stress? Is that kind of stress sin? I think it is. I think having that kind of anxiety is sin. That stress can keep you from being healed. Always remember, here's a principle. Private sin, sins done in private, require private confession. Obviously, if there's someone at the altar and there's accountability there. It's an elder of the church. They're bound to be confident. The pastors do not discuss what you say at the altar. Then I think it is very healing to confess that private sin. If we don't want to air our dirty laundry in public, public sin requires public confession. Private sins require private confession. I'm thinking of Ted Haggard. When he committed what he did with the gay relationship, he needed to confess in public. He brought down almost an entire church. He devastated a city with that sin, and really a lot of Christians too. That needs public confession. We don't want to give ideas to those who are weak in their faith. And then it says, the prayer of a righteous woman is powerful and effective. Are your prayers powerful? Are they achieving what you're praying for? That's a measure. Are things happening? Hopefully they are. Our second point, a spiritually mature woman knows that the greatest healing is a spiritual healing. The greatest healing is a spiritual healing. Not a physical healing, but a spiritual healing. A lot of you have heard this story before, and I apologize if I'm repeating myself, but there are different aspects of it. And God has so used this, what happened in my life and my son's life, to help so many. And so I proceed. But my son, when he turned 19, got very, very sick. And he was sick for several years. We took him to either 7 or 8 specialists. We got 7 or 8 diagnoses of what was wrong with him. But the lowest point for me was we were at CU Medical Center with a very prominent doctor in this city and the country who said to us, you need to file for disability. Your son will never work. He will never hold a job. Never. That was the lowest point for me. It was devastating to me. It's like someone just pulled the rug of hope out from under your feet. But there was no answer. There was no answer from the community. Through a series of events that he literally almost died, Randy Edwards took him out to lunch. And he, the way only Randy can or could, he's gone now, but he's still with us in so many ways, got in my son's face and told him what the issue was with him, that the reason he was sick was because of sin, and told him the truth. He prayed for him in the parking lot outside of Applebee's on Arapahoe Road. Eric said at that moment he saw and felt demons leave him. And he called me on the phone as soon as he got in the car. And I knew that something had changed. I knew it. Because God had told me a couple months before that he was going to heal Eric. And I began to pray, God, heal him. Whatever it takes, heal this child. But I knew that everything changed for him. And, you know, the spiritual healing was instantaneous. The physical healing took a while, and it took a couple years. And really, within about 6 months, though, he was working. Within a year, he met Chantel. I have 2 beautiful grandkids. And this last year, Eric's been working 2 jobs. Oh, my goodness, I would love to take him back to that doctor and say, this is the power of prayer and the power of a righteous man who poured his life into my son. Yeah. Yeah. Are you sick or is someone in your family sick? Have you been anointed and prayed over? Are your prayers powerful and effective? And why not? And have you confessed all known sins if you are sick. And then lastly, this wonderful story about Elijah is a prayer. It's really getting us to pray for a country. That's what this lesson with Elijah is all about. He was just a man like us, but he prayed for his country. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. It did not rain for 3.5 years, and he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So the background is found. We read it in Kings 17 and 18. And King Ahab and Jezebel had led the people into worshiping idols, Baal. And God punished the nation by a drought. What do you think about the drought even here in Colorado? I mean, it gives a new meaning to that, doesn't it? When you think about that. Elijah challenges the priests of Baal to a prayer duel at Mount Carmel, and all day long the priests cry out to their false god. Of course, no one answers. Elijah prayed once, and God sent fire and consumed the sacrifice. This really was the proof that Jehovah was God. But the nation still needed rain, so he goes to the top of Mount Carmel. He falls down in prayer, and he prayed. He persevered in prayer until it rained. He was a man like us. He wasn't perfect, you guys. We don't have to have it all together. And one of our leaders pointed out how human he was. If you continue reading the story, he kind of falls off the cliff there a little bit, doesn't he? I mean, he really goes into a valley, literally, from the mountaintop to the valley. Okay. But he was spiritually mature. In this dramatic story, Elijah changed the hearts of the people in the country. They turned their hearts back to God because of what happened on Mount Carmel. And he also got rid of all of those prophets of Baal were all slaughtered. We need to be praying for our country. How often do you pray for a country? Pray for God's blessing. I love that. Every day. That is awesome. We need to pray for those leaders. And our last point, a spiritually mature woman will persist in praying for revival for a church, city, and country. Persist in revival for church, city, and country. Pretty sad what's been going on in Boston, isn't it? Do you guys feel like this stuff is happening? It's such a regular frequency now. It's just unbelievable. You're afraid almost to look at the news for what is going to be happening. Second Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Doesn't that sound awesome? I want to challenge you over the summer to get organized about your prayer. Some of you have schedules. Monday you pray for the country and the nation and the government leaders. Maybe Tuesday you pray for the state and Wednesday for the church and Thursday for your extended family members. Make up a schedule like that. You can even have it come up as a reminder on your computer and Outlook to pray for all of these things. So you cover all the bases in a week, because God is not going to move if we're not praying as believers. Use your prayer journals. Make lists. Do whatever it is that works for you. The way that some of you pray is not going to work for the rest of you. So do what works. Is there a drought in your life? Do you need a shower of blessing to come to life today? When was the last time you prayed for revival for this church, for this city, for this country? Let's be women of prayer. You know, I don't have this prayer thing figured out yet. I really don't. I wish I could tell you. Oh, that's so easy. I think it is the toughest thing about being a Christian woman. It's where the rubber meets the road. And by nature, I'm a really disciplined person because I grew up in a really disciplined home and everything was scheduled. So I do that. But praying like that is very difficult because I want the emotion in there. So I go through times of great blessing and seeing God's blessings. And then there's sometimes I feel like my prayers are just bouncing off the walls and God doesn't hear me at all. But the thing is, I just keep at it. I just keep doing it. Just keep doing it because there will be those times and you will figure out the best way for you to pray. Whatever your concern is today for your life, your health, or even our country today, let's pray. That's the answer. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for each and every one of these ladies, and I pray just a shower of blessing, a snow shower of blessing on each one of them. I pray for safety as they get home and that the roads have cleared up and there's not a lot of traffic, and you would just get each one home safely. Just post angels all about their cars, Lord. And I just pray you'd bless them for their perseverance in getting here, in getting their studies done, and in prayer. And thank you that you have called us to be women of prayer over everything. Help us to just get into the habit of that. Help us in the morning to just begin the process of praying over everything, no matter what it is. And we will give you the praise for what you're going to accomplish, because I think you're up to something really big, Lord. We love you tonight. Amen.